Last week, I did a little moment in the service about hope. I felt like some were feeling hope is a little lost. And maybe today you're still feeling that. And I felt today's word was really important. It says in Scripture that hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when you're waiting and waiting on something and it doesn't happen. But I remember years ago being given a scripture from Zechariah as well, which says, return to your refuge, prisoner of hope. Even now, I announce, you will get a double portion for all your woes. And at the time I received that verse, it was vital. I thought, well, where are we headed? What's going to happen from things? But that verse really held me. It can seem like a contradiction, like a prison for hope. But actually, that gives us a picture that sometimes it can feel like you're trapped, but your hope is never lost. In Jesus, hope is eternal, hope is certain, and we know we can hold on to it. And this morning, I want us to bring us to that hope again of Jesus. And here's my initial thought now. How good are you at waiting? I don't know how good you are. I'm not great. I remember waiting for Christmas presents as a kid. Waiting for Christmas. My kids were never like this. They got up reasonably early, but it was copable with. When I was little, I was getting up at like 4 a.m. My parents must have been pulling their hair out, honestly. But I was like so excited to see what I got. In fact, I remember one Christmas. I'll tell you this little story. It's like a confessional this morning. I was probably 11, maybe 12. And I was like, I've asked for a Commodore Amiga. I don't know whether any of you are old enough to remember those. And they were like cutting edge computers. And I was like, oh, I really want this thing. I don't know if I'm going to get it. And my parents would sometimes be out. My grandmother would look after us. She had a little flat on the side of our house. And so she was in the flat. I could go and browse around the house without anyone really noticing. So I went looking around and I found the present. And I'm like, yes, I know. But it took the surprise out of it, didn't it? It took the kind of, when it happened on the morning, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, I knew I was going to get that. My parents didn't perceive it. If they listen to this, they'll now know. I don't think I've ever told them this. Anyway, confessionals. So I wasn't good at waiting. And if we're not good at waiting, sometimes we miss out on the very thing that God wants for us. God has many things for us in store, and we have to be prepared to hold on. And sometimes that can be really hard. I mean, that's a really fun example, isn't it? But if you're going through a painful situation of heartbreak or illness or whatever it might be, holding on can be like, God, are you really in this? But I stand here and give testimony. I've been through those situations and I know that it can feel long, but in the end, if you hold on, God will come through. Even if you don't see it in this life. I mean, in the Bible, it talks about Abraham who held on by faith. And even though he didn't see, God accredited it to him as righteousness. Yes? So hold on, because God will come through. Now, Israel had been waiting for a Messiah, hadn't they? If you read the Bible, there are many prophecies about who Jesus would be, who the Messiah was, this promised Savior for Israel. And there's a couple of prophecies we often hear at Christmas, but we're going to come to them. God is at work in the silence is my first thing. So Israel, before Jesus, there had been what is often referred to as the silent period. There is. So from Malachi, who was the last prophet, to the coming of Jesus, there were about 400 years. I think it's 420 to 430 BC that Malachi spoke. And those are kind of the last prophecies we see in the Old Testament. So there's this gap. And it could seem like, well, God has forsaken us. The people of Israel might have been thinking, well, what are you doing, God? We haven't heard a prophetic word. We haven't had new prophets. What is God doing? What is happening? And it must have seemed like a dream, you know, like if you were the third generation down, because we're talking generations, this stuff must have just seemed, well, there's this promise of a Messiah, but it's never going to happen. Maybe even now we're sitting in that same place. We believe in the second coming of Jesus. Well, it's 2,000 years. My father, my grandfather used to say it was coming, but it hasn't come. You know, maybe it's a similar scenario in one sense. But sure enough, God was not going to forsake them, was he? And actually, here is something to tell you. However, in that silence, preparation was happening. And so we see that actually over that time a common language started to spread across many of the known world. and that was Greek, okay? I was looking this stuff up and thinking about it, okay? There was a stable empire. Now, Rome wasn't great, was it? It oppressed the people, but it meant that travel and expansion and things traveling the known world could happen, okay? We know that there was a renewed expectation by the Jews of a Messiah. They'd kind of started to feel this sense of, yes, we feel like God is going to do something, partly because of what Rome was doing. They were expecting someone to come and free them of the Roman Empire. Maybe it didn't quite happen as they wanted, but that's what they were expecting. Synagogues had started to spread across the Mediterranean world, so Jewish culture was spreading. And so in those synagogues as well, it meant that when the disciples later on were to travel, they would often go to those synagogues as a starting place to share the gospel. And the word of God had been broadly translated into what's called the Septuagint. In other words, that's the scriptures in Greek, okay, of the Old Testament that many were able to then read. So really, though it seemed like no prophecies, no move of God, nothing happening, God was moving history, yes? Wasn't he? He was actually moving the situations to prepare the world so when Jesus came, his message could be spread. History itself was moving, yeah? And sometimes when we seem like, what is God doing? Nothing's happening. I'm waiting, I'm praying, I'm holding on. This person hasn't got healed. This situation in my life hasn't changed. My finances are still rubbish. Whatever it might be, yeah, you might not see it, but God is at work. Okay, he holds the big picture. I like the picture Richard gave about you being Dawn being a piece of a jigsaw. We're all a piece of jigsaw, and we all tend to see that piece, but we don't see the picture. God sees the big picture. He's the one putting the jigsaws in place, and you never know what he's doing and why he's doing it at that moment, yes? So in the quiet time, it might seem like nothing is happening, but God is at work, amen? Do you believe that this morning? Hope is still there, guys. If you feel like, I'm in a tunnel, I can't get out, there's no end to this tunnel, the light will come. You will get through it. He will come through on his word. Amen. I had a similar situation, actually. I'll tell you a life story. We were in our first appointment at a church in Notting Hill. God had done certain things. We'd seen people saved. Wasn't amazing. When we came to leave, we'd been there 7 years, we were a bit tired out, and we were being moved somewhere, and in the Salvation Army, you wait to hear, they send you a letter, you get it through the door, those often you have a conversation with your kind of leader at the time, and we had a sit down with our leader, because we got a letter through the door, and it was a huge surprise. Where we were being sent was just felt so wrong, and it felt like we'd been forgotten, just pushed aside. All of those things were what we felt in our heart about where they were sending us. I'm not going to talk about where that was, but it just didn't seem right. But actually, it was the perfect place. And actually, it was, again, a time of waiting. It was a small church where not much was happening, and we had to start some things, but actually, it was a time of restoration. And why do I share that with you? Sometimes when you go into that thing that seems like this just doesn't feel right, this just seems like a nothing, in those waiting periods, God can be restoring you. God can be changing your heart. God can be bringing you to the place that you need to be for the next thing. So don't always despise what seems like, oh, I'm just sat waiting and it doesn't seem like things are happening. God is doing something. You know, as you get older, you know, well, I suppose most of us in here are a bit older. You do look back, don't you? I suppose I could get nods from many of you. You look back and you see actually God's hand was at work in that situation. Amen. So know that when things seem silent, God is at work. So now we have some of those promises that we often read at Christmas. Yes. So the Jewish people knew these scriptures. And we often quote them at Christmas, but we forget how ancient these are. And actually, how long the Jewish people have been waiting for these words. I mean, just imagine. So there's this one, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, we look at that and we go, yeah, that was Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. He was born of a virgin. The angels came. They told. They didn't know that. They didn't understand that. And so they were waiting. Well, when's this Messiah? Of course, the Messiah must be a virgin birth. And then Micah 5, you Bethlehem, from you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel. I think there's a typo there. Anyway, so Bethlehem was to be the place of his birth. So they're probably watching. Well, when's the Messiah coming to Bethlehem? But of course, again, they didn't know. Waited hundreds of years. And we love this one. To us, a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. All of those promises were made hundreds of years before. And we know now, we have the benefit of hindsight, don't we? We know now that those things were fulfilled through Jesus Christ. But they didn't know. And they've been waiting and waiting and waiting. And why do I share this with you? I share it because God may have given you a promise. God may have said, this is what I want for your life. But at the moment, it seems like, well, it just seems so out of reach. And maybe I should give up on that. Maybe I shouldn't do that. I remember going to Grapevine, actually, when it was Grapevine years ago. We went and then ended up with Ground Level. Anyway, story being, there was someone preaching there who spoke from Hebrews. And there's a verse in Hebrews that says, and I quote this often, you've heard me quote it before, but I'm going to repeat it. You need to persevere. So when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Yeah. In other words, often we step towards something of God, but things get hard, time gets long, and we kind of give up on our dreams. And we go, oh, well, it's never going to happen. God's not going to come through. And so we never get there. But the point is that if you keep persevering, eventually that promise comes to pass. Yeah. And that verse was so key for us at that time. And for me, it has been in life. And so don't give up. God's promises, when he said something like these, and we can see them here. And actually, I've only given you three. You could look up tons more. But actually, those came to pass in the person of Jesus Christ, didn't he? So when God has said, God is not a man that he should lie, not a man that he should change his mind. I'm aware of time, but I'm going to read to you Psalm 53. This isn't often a Christmas reading, is it? This is an Easter reading. And it's basically about the suffering servant. And it says this, who has believed our message? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their face. He was despised and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Amen. So this scripture, I'm going to read another bit of it in a minute. This scripture is about the suffering of Jesus, about what he would go through. That actually, we see at Christmas a wonderful baby in a manger, which we like to romanticize. It wouldn't have been easy, would it? It was a feeding trough for animals. It was a smelly, dirty stable into which God, the creator of the universe, chose to come. Okay, but it wasn't lovely. And then we read here, this is going to be his life. People will despise him. People will reject him. Eventually, he will die on a cross and he will suffer. Okay? He will go through all of that stuff. But eventually, which is what we're going to come to in a minute, he brought salvation, didn't he? Amen? And salvation would be certain. Now, in Christianity, we embrace suffering. Now, we might not like to, but we have to. It's a fact of life. You can't avoid it. All of us at some point go through difficulties, yes? Now, I did comparisons of religion with our 12th graders back in school, and we'd look at Buddhism. Now, Buddhism, in some ways, say we want to find the path so we can escape that suffering. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to say here, there are other religions. But what they're saying is we try to escape that suffering because it's painful, because it's difficult. And I know, in my life, I'd love to escape suffering, wouldn't you? You know, we like comfort. We want comfort. But actually, in Christianity, we can embrace it because actually it's part of the human condition. And in actual fact, God himself, our God, has suffered in the person of Jesus Christ, hasn't he? He doesn't not identify with what you and I go through. In fact, none of us really have ever been through the circumstances he went through. None of us have had to suffer a whipping or a putting on a cross, have we? You know, and so when we talk about suffering, we have to pass through those things. They're difficult, they're hard, but you have Emmanuel, God with us. You have God who has passed through those things, who identifies with your pain, who knows your heartache, who weeps with you, yes? And so when you come to that point, understand that. However, and here's the however, that pain is leading somewhere. I've often heard that quote, pain has a purpose. And it does. That suffering is not random. And out of it, God can bring redemption. In other words, turning around what is a great evil for the best good. In any situation, people, if you see a great evil, start to pray that out of it, God brings redemption. Because he does. And this is the verses then that we read on in this scripture that we often forget. Verse 11 and 12. After he had suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he'll divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. In other words, he was going to go through the cross and the pain and the difficulty, but out of it, he was bringing salvation. He was bringing eternal life. He was bringing forgiveness. And we know that the cross was not the end, don't we? There was Sunday morning. There was the resurrection. And there is that in our life. We sometimes can't see it because of we're so blinded by our difficulties and our pain and our problems. But God says, I will bring you through. You will pass through this, and the other side, I have a blessing for you. Now, sometimes that might even be when we get to heaven, but we're certain of eternity in heaven, aren't we? We're certain of a joyful life and an eternal happiness that God has promised if we have chosen to put our trust in Jesus and accept him as our Savior. Yes? And so, Hebrews 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God, he went through it because he saw the thing beyond it. Amen. You're not promised an easy life. I'm sorry, some pastors out there will tell you, oh, come to Jesus, it'll make your life better, and it will. But you're not going to just have an easy time. In fact, some of the challenges might get tougher. Okay. However, out of it and out of your life story and your circumstances, God can bring good. And eventually, the suffering of this world and this life will end. And the promise of Jesus' coming was of a Messiah, yes? People have been on the journey. We're talking about the journey towards Christmas. The people of Israel have been on the journey for hundreds of years. And then there was 400 years of waiting. But sure enough, hope against hope, Jesus came. And Jesus might not have been the rescuer. And often, this is a point as well, often we look for that rescuer to take us out of the circumstances. And the Jewish people thought, oh, it'll destroy Rome. Well, of course he didn't. But he came for all mankind, didn't he? And he was the saviour of us all. And so this morning, as we journey towards Christmas, we know that that promise was made in the Old Testament. And that then it was fulfilled as Jesus came in Jesus Christ. If it seems, so let's reflect. I'm going to give you some reflection before we move over to our time of communion. Let's just reflect. So if it seems that God is silent, I think we've got one more slide actually. Let's just go on to that one. There we go. So if it seems that God is silent is in your situation, just like that period for the Jewish people, he is at work. Perhaps he's preparing you or changing you. Sometimes we end up in a situation and our pride stops us changing, and God leaves us there until we're humble enough to go, actually, God, I need to change. I know that. I've been there. But he's working in your situation. God keeps his promises. Hundreds of years had passed, hadn't they, about the Messiah? But in God's time, he made it happen. He will keep his word to you in his perfect timing. We don't know God's timing. We don't understand it. But he knows best. And finally, salvation will come. Salvation has come. For any this morning who haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, know that he died for you, that you could have eternal life, that you could be restored in a relationship with him. And if you've never prayed that prayer and said, I want you to be in my life, this morning, do that. Come and pray with me or one of our elders, and we'll help you with that prayer. But this morning as well, in your own life, whatever the situation is, the suffering you're going through, hold on. Because out of those trials, good will come. Eventually. You know, we can look at it and go, I'm really not. But it will, guys. It will, because God is good. And the enemy's biggest trick is to try and have us believe that God is not good, that somehow he's holding out on us. But the facts are, God is good, and he will bring about his purpose in his time. Your salvation, from whether that's a sickness, a relationship breakdown, a financial situation, whatever it is, eventually out of it, you will be able to look back and go, God brought my salvation. It's certain. And even in those circumstances, your salvation in him is certain. Your eternal life is certain. Your blessing is certain because you have a relationship with God and his spirit is in you. Amen? And so this morning, know that that's the truth. I'm just going to pray and then I'm going to hand back to Trevor. Father God, this morning, I just pray for everybody here. Whatever we're going through, I pray that these words would have restored hope. That, Lord God, you would have reminded us that we don't go through things without a purpose, that you will bring something to pass in the end. Help us to remember what you did for us, Jesus, and that you're not a God who is unaware of our pain or our problems, but that you are with us in them, and that the reality of your coming at Christmas was to bring us hope, to bring us salvation. And so this morning, would you strengthen each person's spirit? Would you bring them back to that closeness to you? Would you restore hope for each of us in the room this morning? I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.